Heavenly Father, we bow before you and we say thank you for the privilege of being here today. God, you just take this time, you use it for your honor and your glory. May we have ears to listen and hearts to respond. And we pray this in your name, Christ. Amen. Hey, I got a story I want to share with you. It's a remarkable story in Mark chapter 1. If you have your Bibles, I know some of you brought them, which is awesome. Mark chapter 1, verse 40 says this, "A man with leprosy came to Jesus and begged him on his knees, 'If you are willing, you can make me clean.' Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. 'I am willing,' he said, 'be clean.' Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cured. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning, 'See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them.' Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere." He was a leper. The Gospel of Luke that records the same story tells us that he was in the final stages of the disease. Leprosy covered his body, Luke says. It's a horrible disease, leprosy. It starts as spots on the eyelids and then on the palms of the hands, and then it spreads over the entire body, consuming the body. It covers the skin with scales, and then the scales erupt into open sores that ooze the disease. But what's happening on the outside? Just the tip of the iceberg to what's really going on underneath, just below the surface of the skin. Because that is where the gruesome work of leprosy takes its toll. Because it works its way methodically, eating through the nerve endings that's woven throughout the body and the tissue. And so ultimately, the body becomes completely numb. Total sensory deprivation. It can't feel any pain. And so a leper would be walking along and could break a toe, but because his body's numb, he'd never feel any pain. So he'd continue to walk, worsening the break-in, hastening the spreading of the disease. It was a horrible way to exist. At that time, Levitical law required that a leper cover himself, and his outer garment be torn, his hair be unkept, and he'd cover his face partially. And as he walked through the streets, if he ever did, he had to stay at least minimum 6 feet away from people, and he had to call out, "Unclean, unclean." That was the physical and social stigma of the disease. Young children would run away in fear. Older youth, teenagers perhaps, they would try to shoo the leper away with sharp stones, and adults, they would just simply walk on the other side of the street, sometimes gazing at him with disdain, other times not looking at him at all. But there wasn't just a physical stigma. There was a spiritual and a moral stigma that the rabbis attached to the leper, because they said that leprosy was a judgment of God on a sinner. And so the leper had some heinous sin in his life that God condemned him with the curse of leprosy. And so he carried the pain that was physical, but the shame that was deep into his heart and into his soul, and the guilt. That was his life. That is how he existed. Lepers weren't allowed to live inside the city walls, and so they herded them together in colonies outside the city. Sometimes, often, they lived in caves. Caves were a perfect metaphor, perfect symbol for the life of a leper, separated not only from humanity, but separated from God as well. The only people that they saw on a regular basis would be the people that came to the cave, the mouth of the cave, and would leave food, and they'd quickly run away so as not to be contaminated. The loneliness, the isolation was total. They were gathered together in a leper colony, surrounded by the miserable and the hopeless. That was his life. And the isolation that he felt, it too was horrible. It started just like the disease. It started with the peripheral, his friends, acquaintances, they stopped seeing him. And then one by one, his close friends, they stopped coming by as well, until finally the only people that would visit him at all would be the close circle of family, friends, and then one by one, they disappeared too. Until finally, maybe only one person would come, that would be his mother. And her visits were few and far between, and she would stand off at a distance, and lately she wouldn't even be able to look him in the eye. Such was the disease of leprosy. Imagine living in the cave, cold, lonely, isolated, without hope, without love. Imagine never being able to enjoy the simple dignities of life, like having someone smile at you, or sharing a joke with a friend, or being able to go to the market to buy food, or going to a celebration or a party with some friends and family, or maybe even being able to go to the synagogue and worship together. How long had it been? How long had it been since he felt someone reach out their hand and just shake his? Or someone wipe a tear from their eye, or kiss them on the cheek, or pat them on the back, or even just put their arm around his shoulder and say, man, it's good to see you. Those were experiences that he would never, ever have again. The only respite a leper could have would be in the darkness of the cave where he tried to sleep and try to catch a little break from the horror that was his life. But that came few and far between, and it was difficult rest. And when he awoke, he didn't awake from a nightmare. He awakened to a nightmare. Day after day after day after hopeless day. That was the life of a leper. That was the life and the existence of this man. But this morning was different. When he woke up, the cave was buzzing about the news. Have you heard? Jesus. That's right. Jesus, the one who claims to be the Messiah, the Christ. He says he's the Son of God. He's in town. He's the miracle worker. They say he even heals the sick and the lame and makes blind to see and even casts out demons. Can you believe it? And the conversations ripple through the colony. So the leper, as he hears and as he listens, a small flicker of hope starts to ignite and burn in his heart. And he makes a decision. I must see Jesus. So he puts on his outer garment and he hobbles as quickly and as determinedly as he can to town. He must find Jesus. Well, most of the time, Jesus wasn't tough to find because crowds followed him, sometimes by the hundreds, sometimes by the thousands. And so as the leper approaches the outskirts of the crowd, the outer edges, as he works his way around, he cups his hand to his ear. He listens to the words of Christ. He's teaching. The Master is teaching. The things he's saying, unbelievable. And then he looks, peers through the crowd, through the breaks, and the people and the masses that are there. People are being healed. They're actually being healed. And with every person that is healed, a wave of wonder crashes over the crowd and foams at the feet of the leper. Until finally that flame, that little tiny flame of hope burning inside of him, starts to ignite into a flame of faith. And so he decides that he must see Jesus. And so he does something that lepers were not supposed to do. He started to work his way through the crowd. And when the crowd understood there was a leper in their midst, they instinctively parted like the Red Sea, some out of reverence, some out of disdain, some out of fear. But no one stood in his way. So he walked and hobbled up to Jesus. He came within an arm's length of Christ. He fell to his knees. He looked up into the eyes of Christ, and their eyes locked. And his plea was halted, but it was direct, and it was simple. If you are willing, you can make me clean. Yes. Jesus looked at him, and the Bible tells us that he was filled with compassion. He saw not only the brokenness of the body of the man kneeling before him, but he saw that brokenness went far deeper into his spirit, into his heart, the brokenness all the way to his soul. So Jesus did something that for you and me, simple gesture, but for the leper, it meant everything. Jesus reached out and he touched him. How long had it been since someone had touched him? And with that touch, Jesus was communicating. I'm here. I see. I understand. I care. I love you. I want to help. Jesus didn't belabor the situation any longer. He simply looked at the man and he said, I am willing. Be clean. Instantly a surge ripped through his body. He felt it all the way down to his toes. The leper looked down. All of a sudden, he saw his skin. The scales, they were gone. It was fresh skin. He'd never seen it before. He opened his cloak. The scars were gone. It was brand new skin. He started to feel his fingers. He hasn't felt his fingers in weeks, maybe even months. He could feel his fingers clenched, his fists. There was strength. He hadn't had strength. And since he can remember, he was healed. And he looked up at Jesus and his eyes filled and pooled with emotion, spilling all over his face. And he wanted to talk. He wanted to say something, anything. But it seemed his whole sad life was just wedged sideways in his throat and the words just wouldn't come. But soon, very soon, they would come. And he would tell everybody He would go around and he would tell everybody how Jesus had touched him, how Jesus had healed him, how Jesus had rescued him, how Jesus could heal them because he healed him, a hopeless leper. The story is amazing. Jesus, he did things no one had ever done before. Ever. And he'd said things that no one had ever spoken before. He claimed to be the light of the world, the bread of life. He claimed to be the way, the truth, the life. He claimed to be the Messiah. He claimed to not only be the Son of God, but God in the flesh. He said things that no one had ever said before. But that day, to that leper, he uttered three words that absolutely stunned the crowd. I am willing. Can you imagine the crowd? Can you imagine their conversations? They're muted, settling with one another as they said, doesn't Jesus understand who he is? He's obviously a sinner. He's cursed. He doesn't deserve help. He deserves judgment. He deserves condemnation. That's what he deserves. Jesus didn't care about the crowd. He cared about the one. So he didn't listen to that. He looked at the one and he said, I am willing. And with those three words, he was communicating something so powerful, so pregnant with meaning. He was saying, I want you to know that I am here and I understand and I want to step in. And I want to step into your life and I want to bring healing long before just the surface healing. No, I want to go deeper into your soul. I want to help you. I want to rescue you because I care, because I love you. I am willing. Three powerful words. But just as Jesus spoke them that day for the leper, and here's where it gets personal for you and me, Jesus is still speaking those words today, right here, to you. He wants you to know, I am willing. He wants you to know that he is willing. He desires to step into your life. Maybe the mess that is your life right now, maybe there's a decision, or maybe there's an impossible situation. He wants you to know that he's willing, that he wants to step into that. That he wants to help you, that he wants to speak to you, that he wants to guide you. Maybe you're thinking that he's against you. He wants you to know that that is not true. He is for you. And so he comes to you today through his word. He comes to me and he says, I am willing. Because I love you. Because I care about you. I'm willing. So what do we have to do to make his willingness a reality in our life? The same thing that the leper did. The same two things the leper did. One, he realized he needed Jesus. Let me ask you something. Do you realize that you need Jesus today? Don't answer out loud, answer it in your heart. Do you realize you need Jesus? Because the Bible makes it clear that we all need Jesus. We have a situation in our life that is dire. The Bible tells us that we're separated from God. We're sinners. Nobody gets out of that. The Bible tells us, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned. God levels the playing field. Nobody's better than anybody else. God says, you are all in need of a Savior. And the reason that that situation is so dire, you're alienated from the God who loves you, the God who made you, the one who wants to guide your life. But if that doesn't change, that trajectory of your life and of my life is going to continue throughout all eternity into a place of justice and judgment called hell. See, because wherever justice is going to be real, then there has to be equal payment to the weight of the crime. And sin is an eternal hate crime against God. And so there has to be payment. That's why Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, eternal separation from God forever. That is our situation. That is our dire need. And God says, I want to rescue you from it. I am willing. So I'm not going to wait for you to try to figure out how to come to me. I'm coming after you. I'm going to pursue you. So John 3:16, the most famous verse in all the Bible says this, for God so loved the world, you, me, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. He gave Jesus. He's pursuing us. He's coming after us. Why? Because only Jesus could pay the penalty for our sin. It took someone who was perfect, someone who never sinned. And so Jesus died on the cross, took the wrath of God, the judgment of a holy God for our sin. That's why Jesus on the cross screamed, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because God was putting our sin on Christ. Jesus was absorbing the cost for you and for me. He died 3 days later, rose from the grave, proving that he conquered death and hell and sin. Was seen by over 500 witnesses, and now he sent it to the Father, sits at the right hand of the Father, and comes to you and to me through his word, and he says, I want you to know I'm alive, and I'm willing. I'm willing. to come into your life. But you've got to realize that you need me. That's what the leper did. The leper realized he needed Jesus. And then he believed, and so he asked. If you are willing, you can make me clean. He believed in Christ, and so he asked. And so it is with us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him, not believes about him. Lots of people believe about God. It's not enough. You got to believe in him. You got to believe in. You know what it means to believe in someone? You believe what they're all about. You believe what they say. You believe what they stand for. You believe in them. The force of that word means to commit, to surrender all that you are. See, the leper, he didn't just want life in his hand or in his finger or in his foot. He wanted total life, complete healing. That is what we need. Total surrender to Jesus. Say, Jesus, come into my life. Jesus, in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, says, I stand at the door of your heart and knock. I'm knocking. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in. I am willing because he loves you. And he can rescue you today. So let me ask you, where do you need to hear Jesus speak to you? I am willing. Maybe it's for you, it's a relationship situation. Maybe it's a decision that you have coming up. Maybe it's a hurt that is deep. You need to hear him say to you today, I am willing. Or maybe for you, you've never invited Christ into your life. You've never made that decision. Jesus said, I am willing. I want to come in. I want to satisfy your soul. I'm the only one that can. I want to give you fulfillment. I want to give you eternal life. Because the moment you invite Christ in, you get a relationship with God. You get a home in heaven. You get purpose for why you're here on this planet. 24/7 relationship with God. That is what he wants for you. When Jesus came into my life, he changed my life. I'd be a mess without him. I'd be a horrible dad. I'd be a horrible husband. I'd be a horrible friend because I'd be living all for me. But when Jesus comes into your life, he changes your perspective. He changes your hope. And you realize you have a heavenly Father who says, I'm willing. I'm willing. So let me ask you, where do you need to hear Jesus say to you today, I am willing? He brought you here. He brought you here so that you could hear his heart tell you that he wants you. He loves you. He's willing. But he leaves the choice with you. Now let's pray together if we could. Heads bowed, eyes closed, just for a moment, out of respect for those around you. Again, thank you guys so much. For your attention. I appreciate it so much. But this is the pivotal moment right here. What did God talk to you about? And what are you going to do about it? When God's truth goes out, man, truth is so powerful that you got to make a decision on it. So what has God talked to you about? What do you need to do? Maybe you're here and you're a believer. You're a believer. Man, you got some stuff going on in your life and you just needed to be encouraged today. But you know what? That hasn't escaped your Savior's notice. That he is willing. He is willing to walk you through that. Or maybe you're here and you've never invited Christ in. You've never committed your life to Christ. God brought you here today to let you know he loves you. He sacrificed his son for you. And he is willing to save you. Not because he needs you. He doesn't need me. He doesn't need any of us. He's got it all on his own. He's fine. It's greater than that. He says, I want you. But he won't twist your arm. That's why he says, I'm willing. Because you have to respond. Maybe you're here today and you're like, Wes, you're talking to me. Man, it's just like somebody's pointing a finger right in the middle of my chest saying, man, it's you. Well, that's not me. That's God. So respond to him. If you're here and you've never invited Christ in, if you died, you're not sure you'd go to heaven, and you're pretty sure you wouldn't. That can change right now. Tell him. You want him in your life? Surrender your life to him right where you are. Just tell him. That's what prayer is. Prayer is just voicing our hearts to God. In fact, let me do this, because somebody loved me enough to do it for me. Let me do it for you. No one looking around. If you want Jesus to come into your life and save you, you know he's been talking to you. And he's saying, I love you and I'm willing. Will you respond? And you're saying, man, that's me. Then I want you to pray this prayer after me. Not out loud in your heart, meaning the words is your own. You're not praying to me, you're talking to God. Just say something like this. Dear Jesus, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I get it. I'm lost. I want to be found. I want you. I believe you died on the cross for me. Pay for my sins. And you have eternal life to give me. A relationship with God. A home in heaven. I want you. I want that. So I turn from my sins. I repent. And I turn to you. Come into my life. Save me. Rescue me. I am all yours. Last question. Head bowed, eyes closed. No one looking around. But if you just prayed that and you meant it, I'm not going to embarrass you. I wouldn't do that to you. No way. But if you prayed it and you meant it, I want to remember you in a closing prayer. That's all. See, if I'm sitting across a table at Tim Hortons or Starbucks or something like that, and you just said, hey, I invited Christ into my life, I'd want to look you in the face. I would want to celebrate with you. I want to pray for you. So that's what I want to do now. So if you just prayed that prayer and you were serious about it, God spoke to you, would you just fire your hand up real quick without anybody looking around? And look at me for a moment, because I just want to see you and I'm going to pray for you. That's it. Not by name. I don't know you. Bless you, man. Awesome. Man, thank you. See you. Fabulous. Somebody else. Wes, here's my hand, man. Here's my face. God bless you, bro. See ya. Awesome, man. Thank you. Anybody else? Pray for me, man. I was serious. This is my moment. This is my day. God, talk to me. Pray for me. Anybody else before I pray for these guys? God, thank you for what you do in our lives. Lord, I pray for these guys, men and women. Lord, I pray that you help them to know if they were serious with you, you're serious with them. You are good to your word. You're willing, and you will save us. I thank you. I pray for them, Lord. Encourage them. Give them strength. Help them to know, Lord, that you're for real. As they follow you, use their lives in ways that only you can. God, I pray that we would walk out of here today realizing that you are for us, that you are willing, and just as you heal the leper, you can heal us. You can move into our mess. You can direct our lives. Thank you, Christ. In your name I pray. Amen. Hey, for those of you who raised your hand, or maybe you didn't, but you're still kind of thinking about it, as soon as we're done here in just a few moments, I'm going to be right over here, and I got some information I'm going to put in your hand, okay? Just kind of helps you, especially those of you who raised your hand, kind of helps you understand, you know, what it means to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and now what do I do? Hey, I just invited God into my life, now what do I do? So this kind of walks you through it, okay? There's no strings attached, okay? There's no homing device. I'm not going to show up at your beach house, you know, and say, hey, buy John the Baptist shower curtains or something. You know, I'm not going to do that, all right? I just want to help you, man, because somebody loved me enough to go, hey, this is what it means now. You're a new creation. You got life. Follow Jesus. Here you go. So if you're interested, come on over. I'd be happy to share that with you, all right? Thank you, guys. We're going to do one more song. We'll be done.